Good morning. It is so good to see you guys here this morning. So thankful that we are able to come and worship Christ, the King of Kings. We get to sing together. We get to have unity as we worship together, and that is a blessing. Huge, huge blessing. Hopefully you have your Bibles. You have your Bibles this morning? Because we're going to open up God's Word. We are a Bible teaching church. We stand on the truth of God's Word. We are an expository preaching church, which simply means we walk through the entirety of Scripture, if it's a book or a passage, and we just kind of walk through that so we can see what God is telling us, and keeping everything in context and very powerful. So, but it doesn't matter if you've missed a couple. There is a powerful message with every verse or passage that we look at. And so where we are, we're in the book of Colossians. We're in chapter 3. We are in our last couple of weeks. If you look in your scripture, you can see how it breaks down, and we're coming to this kind of last section of this passage here. We're in the last couple of weeks of looking at this idea of what it means to put on the new self. These Christian virtues that Paul describes as if we are putting on the beautiful garments of the day, it just kind of makes sense that we're putting these on as a new believer or a new creation in Christ. And so Paul, if we kind of, again, think about the process here, think about where Scripture has taken us over the last few weeks. Paul began this section first, before he talks about putting on the new self, he tells believers, he encourages believers, he exhorts believers to put first to death those things that are earthly in us, those things of our old nature. We need to take those things off. We need to put those to death. Basically, those things that were part of us before Christ saved us. Those things that still war against us daily, even as believers. If you want to look back up in your passage here, Colossians 3:5 says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." And then couple of verses down, Colossians 3:7, "But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth." Those garments, those things are not the garments followers of Christ wear. But then he goes on, and then we kind of skip up a little bit farther than that. Verses 1 and 2, he says, "But if then, you have been raised with Christ," meaning if you are truly a believer, Christ has saved you, he has given you this new identity. "If then you have been raised with Christ," what are we to do? "Seek the things that are above," where Christ is. Raise our eyes, focus on Jesus, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds daily on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. What happens when we start looking at the things of this earth? We are distracted from the truth of who God is and God's word, aren't we? We get distracted. Does anyone in here get distracted by things? Yes, we do. We war against this day. So Christ just continually reminds us throughout the New Testament. He's just like, "Fix your eyes on me. Set your mind on me. Wake up tomorrow morning and say, 'Jesus, I'm looking to you. I'm looking to your word.' Get your eyes off these things of the earth," because the minute we take our eyes off Jesus, we start getting into the things of this earth. We get distracted. We sin. We get anxiety. We get fear. We get all these things. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. Another thing that he warns us about, that he tells us in this passage that we've already looked at, he says, "Believers, stop comparing yourself to others." Don't compare yourself to others and thinking that you're so great, you're so religious. Stop doing that. Instead, put on the new self, which is modeled after who? The image of the Creator, Jesus. That's who we look to. That's who we compare ourselves to. So why do we put on this new self? Because as believers, we are God's chosen ones. We are the elect. We are those who've been predestined before the beginning of time. We have been those that have been adopted into his family. And because of the salvation that we have in Christ, because of the righteousness that we have, because of Christ, we have been set apart. Therefore, we are to put on this new self. We look different. We are those that are different than the world, those that do not know Christ. We are to put on the garments and virtues of Christ, which include, which we've talked about the last couple of weeks, compassionate hearts. We are to have compassionate hearts. This is what a Christian looks like, someone with compassion. We are to have kindness. We are to have humility, meekness, and patience. We also, as the body of Christ, as we saw last week, we are to bear with one another. As the body of Christ, as you know, the church, everybody look around at each other, okay? Just look at each other. Look at each other. I know that's scary sometimes, to actually look into people's eyes. See real humans. Yeah, look at each other. This is your family. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. We, as a church, as the body of Christ, we are to have unity. How do we have unity? We are to bear with one another. We are to realize that we're all in this process, aren't we? We're all at different parts of our maturity in Christ. Some of us have been Christians for a long time. Some of us have been Christians for a short time. That doesn't mean that the one person that's been a Christian a long time is as mature as someone else, does it? We're all in process. We are to endure with one another. We are to be patient with each other, understanding that we are all in this process of sanctification. And when that happens, and when there's compassion in our heart, and there's kindness in their heart, there's the forbearing with one another, this also leads to the ability to truly forgive each other, doesn't it? We saw last week a very humbling truth, which is, why in the world are we to forgive each other? Well, maybe because Christ forgave us, right? It is so easy to forget what Christ has done for us when we have pride and we have a religious pride and we think that, and we're comparing ourselves to each other instead of looking to Jesus. It's easy to forget who we were apart from Christ and how much he has forgiven. We need to think on this daily. You need to get up tomorrow morning, set your mind on the things above, put to death what's earthly, and you need to remember what Christ did for you on the cross. And then Paul kind of wraps that up. He says the only way that we are able to wear these beautiful garments as if they're all held together by what? You remember? Love. That's right. Colossians 3:14. And above all these, put on love. And as a musician, I love this, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Have you ever heard perfect harmony? Or really good harmony, it sounds good. Have you ever really heard bad harmony? Yeah, that doesn't sound that great. I've been a part of all of it, okay? But, perfect harmony, great harmony sounds so good. And you're like, oh, that sounds so good. Put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Okay, so here we are. That was our little recap. So as we look at these last three verses, okay, 15, 16, and 17 in chapter 3, We're gonna see three more aspects of this Christian wardrobe. Okay, we put on these garments. We've cinched them together with love, and so I kind of think of these as like three outer garments that kind of drape over those things that we've already put on. And so what we're gonna see over the next 2 weeks is we're gonna look at the peace of Christ, the word of Christ, and the name of Christ. And we can think of these as these outer garments of the new person in Christ, those that cover over the other garments. Let's read 15 through 17, and today, this morning, we're only going to look at one of those. We're going to look at verse 15. So let's read 15, 16, and 17, see where we are in the next 2 weeks. Starting in verse 15 says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." And verse 17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So as we move into this season of Thanksgiving, it's really cool that all three of these verses have this understanding of thankfulness to to Christ. But as we look at these, the peace of Christ, the word of Christ, the name of Christ, we're going to see these outer garments that we are to put on as a believer in Jesus. Let's pray, and then we're going to jump in and look at the garment of peace. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the ability to be here this morning to worship you. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the body of Christ. I pray that you would just continue to keep our eyes focused on you, that we would put on these garments, and that would bring unity to this place and this church, this body of Christ, that those that are lost, those that whom you are calling, they would be able to look in and see something different, that they would know that we love each other, that we will be known by our love and by our compassion and our kindness and our humility, that as the body we would be able to bear with one another, forgive each other. Thank you for these, for this new creation, this new identity in you that only comes from salvation in you, Lord, in Christ. Speak to us this morning from the youngest to the oldest. Help us to just fight against distractions. And as we dive into your word, as we look at what this incredible peace is that you bring us that only comes through you, Lord, let it encourage us. Let it remind us of who we are in you. Let it bring encouragement in this crazy time that we are living. Let it spur us on to go out and share this peace with others. But Lord, we do thank you for the peace that we have in you. And we give you all the glory. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. All right, as we look at verse 15, if you're taking notes, this would be your heading, believers wear the peace of Christ. We as believers in Jesus, those who have been saved by Christ, who've experienced that incredible grace and forgiveness, we wear the peace of Christ. Look at verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let me give you a little truth here, okay? Just to remind you. You as a Christian, you as a believer, guess what? You have something that this world is longing for, and that is peace. When things are great, when things are going great, and everybody's comfortable, and things aren't, there's no crisis or anything, sometimes the loss, we all kind of forget, like, oh, everything's okay. But when there is a crisis, guess what? People that do not know Jesus, they get scared. They have fear, and it kind of all makes it amplified. And they are just longing for peace. Guess what, believer? You already have that peace. You wear it. You have something that the world is longing for, and that's true peace. Not just surface peace. Sometimes people just think, oh yeah, peace is just the absence of conflict, right? But this is something deeper than that. It is true peace. If we want to continue with this idea of putting on garments, we can think of the peace of Christ like a super warm coat on a winter's day. That's the way I picture it in my mind. Okay, think about January or February in Oklahoma, right? Okay, the wind is sweeping down the plain, right? The wind in Oklahoma is crazy. It is just crazy. I mean, some days it's like super peaceful, and yesterday, I mean, good grief. I thought my wall was going to blow down in our bedroom. It just is like coming at you so hard. But you get that in January, February when it's freezing outside. But imagine not having a coat on. You're outside. The wind is sweeping down the plain. That's a weird thought. But then someone walks up behind you and just drapes this super huge, awesome warm coat around you, and you just feel peaceful, cozy, restful because of this coat. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This is that peace, that peace that, again, it's not just the absence of conflict and that something is okay. It goes way deeper than that for the believer. In fact, it goes so deep that we can't even comprehend it sometimes, right? And sometimes we don't know that peace until we're going through the midst of something really difficult. Maybe a sickness in the family, maybe a death in the family, and you can't explain the peace that you have, but you know it only can come from Jesus. That is something that surpasses all understanding. So as we look at this morning, verse 15, what really is this peace that Paul is talking about? And I think Paul, just by the language that he uses here, by the actual words that he chooses, the Greek words that he chooses, we get an insight into what peace is, okay? The first thing that we see from the language that Paul uses is this, and you might want to write this down. The peace of Christ provides the believer rest and security. This is one aspect of what peace is for the believer. It provides rest and security. If you were a believer, can you remember when Christ saved you? Do you remember that? I mean, you might not know the exact date, time, whatever, but you know when that was. Do you remember what that felt like? I was 8 years old. I can remember when he was calling me. I remember those services that I sat in, and I was hearing the gospel, and I knew that Christ was calling me. And I felt restless, I had anxiety, because I knew that I needed to trust in the Lord, that he was producing that faith in me, and I couldn't escape it, right? I knew I needed Jesus. And I remember the night that Christ saved me, and I can remember the peace that came over me. Does anyone remember that peace? Why do we feel this peace? Here's the thing. And this is what Paul is saying right here. Why do we feel this peace? It's because we are finally at peace with God. That's so amazing. We feel peace because we are now at peace with God. And in fact, that's the wording that Paul uses here. If we look at the Greek word, what that meaning of this word that he uses brings to mind an agreement, a peace treaty, a pact. It's this, that we are now at peace with God because he has forgiven us our sins. We are now at peace with him. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are at peace with him. Another aspect of this word, peace, that he gives us is the idea of security. We are now at peace with God, but we also feel secure. In Christ, we are secure. Our salvation is secure. I hurt for the people that live their entire life thinking that somehow they will lose their salvation. There's no security in that. There's no rest in that, is there? With Christ, in Christ, you will not lose your salvation. Remember what verse 12 says, we are God's chosen ones. We are holy and beloved. These are the same names that God gave his people in the Old Testament. Ephesians 1:4, listen to this carefully, believer, tells us we are chosen before the foundation of the world. If you struggle with doubt in your salvation, think about that verse. What could bring you more security than knowing that God chose you before the beginning of time? That brings security, doesn't it? Because we know that it had nothing to do with us, right? He did all the work. He did the calling. He produced the faith in us. We can't escape that. We are secure in our salvation. We can't go around and like do something like, oh, shoot, I lost my salvation again. We are secure. That should give you rest, right? That should give you the ability to lay down at night and go, thank you, Jesus, for my salvation, which is secure. Thank you for choosing me. Thank you for calling me. We're just using the language and exact words of what Scripture tells us. And we can find we can find security and rest in this truth. We are secure in him. I know we have some children here. I was a child once too, a long time ago. But I remember going to bed at night in the dark and then hearing my dad go around checking doors. Does anyone remember things like that? That brought security to me. I knew my dad, who was way bigger, way stronger, was walking around checking the doors, looking out the windows, making sure everything was locked up, secure. And that brought me peace. Because as a child, you worry about stuff, right? You worry about things. You hear things on the news. You hear, you know, whatever. And you want to feel secure. I remember then my parents coming in, they would check on us and then say goodnight to us. I have these memories as a dad when my children were little, and I would go in, even when they were asleep, and I would kiss them on the cheek when they were little, and they would always do this thing. They'd go, I mean, subconsciously. And I was like, it's almost like they felt their dad kissing their cheek, and it brought this peace. They knew they were taken care of. They were secure. In Jesus Christ, believer, your salvation is secure. You cannot lose it. He will never leave you or forsake you. Romans says nothing can separate you from the love of God. This is why we have peace. It brings security. It brings rest to us. This is a peace only Christ can bring. If you're not a believer in Jesus, you lay down every night, and then all these things flood through your mind, and you think about how scared you are, and you think about what's happening in the world. You think about this or that. You think about finances. You think about all these things, your job, and there's no peace. We have those same worries, but we go, oh, thank you, Jesus. You're in control. Thank you. You're the one in control. Thank you that you're not surprised by what I'm going through. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you that I have something way beyond this earth. I have eternity with you. Thank you, Jesus. And we have rest and we have security. The peace of Christ brings rest and security. But not only does this peace bring security to our hearts, knowing that we are at peace with God and that our salvation is secure, here's the cool thing. This peace that we are given also rules our hearts. That's something that's kind of interesting to think about. Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Not only are we at peace with God, we have salvation in Christ, which brings us rest, brings us security, but also the peace of Christ that is given to us rules our hearts. Okay, what is he talking about ruling our heart? Okay, now you might not be a sports fan. That's okay. It's all right. But there are a lot of people that love to watch sports, right? They have their favorite teams. They enjoy watching a game. And here's the thing. What makes that good? What makes sporting events seem like an exciting thing for most people? It's because there is some sense that sporting event that they're watching is fair. That's why it's good. If we thought every event was like wrestling, you might be a wrestling fan, which we all know what that is. It's kind of all, it's like a drama. It's all mapped out. But most other sporting events, we watch them because we really think this is fair. That if our team really does the right thing today, we could win and we will have won fairly. There are rules to be followed. Now, we might hate the outcome sometimes, but deep down we hope that the game was fair and that the better team actually won. Now, who do we get mad at when we think it's unfair? The refs, the umpires, that's right. Because they are the ones that have been hired, they're on the field, and they're on the court, and they are deciding the outcome of this contest based on what plays they call, what they flag, all those things. We have to trust that those umpires are being fair, and that makes it exciting. But they're the ones that are deciding the outcome. This is what Paul is talking about, the peace ruling our hearts. He actually, it's like an umpire within our hearts. It's guiding believers in making right decisions. This is what the peace of God ruling our hearts is all about. Now, we might not have ever thought of peace this way. Most people think of peace as just like, okay, everything's cool, and there's no conflict. I'm at peace. But for the believer, it goes way below this, way deeper. So deep that we can't understand it sometimes, or we have rest, we have security, but we also have peace that is guiding us, guarding our hearts, ruling in our heart. It brings rest, but it also brings guidance. Letting peace rule in our hearts brings the idea that peace is like an arbitrator. It's helping us to know what is right. Okay, let me help you kind of understand what this is talking about. Think about it this way, okay? When we are saved, when we are made into a new creation, we are given a new heart and a new identity. We are now one with who? Christ. We are joined. We are one in Him. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with Him." So how does peace rule in our heart? How does it help us guide? Think about it this way. When you make a decision, when you go do something, is there peace that it is right? That it is what Christ would do? That's how it's guarding it. That's how it's ruling in our hearts. We could call it conviction. You know, when you're doing something, you're like, oh, this doesn't seem to jive with my new identity with Christ. When you don't have that peace, that's the peace in you ruling and saying, don't be a part of that because you are one with Christ now. This is not something that brings peace. It's not consistent with the peace that we have in Christ. Does it leave us with a peace in our hearts? I think these two factors, this idea that is it consistent with who Christ is? Does it leave us with peace in our decision because, you know, as the Holy Spirit's guiding us, as this peace is ruling? Both of these factors, if we will understand it, those are both great deterrents of sin, right? That's pretty amazing if we look at this verse and say, okay, this is what peace ruling in my heart looks like. These are great deterrents to sin because we can say, this is not consistent with Christ's nature. I'm one with Him. Why would I be a part of this? And this does not leave me with any kind of peace if I'd go down this road. That's a deterrent to sin. This is allowing peace to rule our hearts. Peace is not only the presence of Christ, the presence that brings about that deep peace, a sense of rest and security. Peace is also there to guide us, to rule in our hearts, to be an umpire for us, guiding us to what is right, and that continues that peace in our hearts. And then third, final, not only is peace rest and security, not only does peace rule and guide us, peace is also relational. The peace of Christ is relational. Look at verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. When we have peace in Christ, and that peace in Christ is ruling in our hearts, we will live in unity and harmony with the body of Christ. It brings unity to the body. The peace of Christ ruling in our hearts will allow us to have patience with each other, right? It will allow us to forgive each other. It will allow us to hold our tongues sometimes. It will bring unity to the church, to which you were called in one body. And then Paul kind of ends that verse. He says, if you have this type of peace, if this is what Christ, if you are in Christ, this is the peace that Christ gives. Paul says, hey, guess what? Be thankful for that. Be thankful for that peace that we have in Christ. Remember again, there is a lost world that is struggling because they are longing for peace. And they look for it in all sorts of ways, whether it's financial stability or their marriage seems okay this week, or their job is okay this week, or they got something new that will kind of take their mind off things for a little while. They are looking and longing for peace. And they've been doing that before the pandemic. They've been doing that for thousands and thousands of years, looking for anything to bring peace. Believer, we have true peace. And Paul says, be thankful for that. Thank Him. Again, why would we show up here? Well, for one, Scripture commands it. It's like, meet with each other, come together, worship together. But when we come into this place, we are thanking Jesus through song and prayer, thanking Him for the cross, thanking him for what he brings, the salvation that is secure, and thanking him for that rest and security and that peace that guards and guides our heart. Colossians brings up thankfulness many times, and I believe it's because gratitude is the mark of a believer. It's the mark of a true believer, someone that's thankful. Thankfulness for what Christ has done, thankfulness for our salvation, thankfulness for the cross, thankfulness for being one of God's chosen and holy people, set apart, thankful that in Christ we are now at peace with God. Thankful for the rest and the security, that peace that this priest provides for us, thankfulness that the peace not only provides rest and security, but also rules. It's an umpire. It guides us to the right decision. In Christ, we have peace that goes beyond our understanding. And I hope this morning in God's Word, we are able to maybe catch an even deeper understanding of what this peace is. We need to be sharing this with others, right? If we can recognize that out there, this lost and dying, scared world is longing for peace, we should probably allow them to first see it in us that we truly do have peace, and then share that with them. Why are you not scared all the time? Why do you seem to not have fear? How did you just go through that terrible situation and you had this calm about you? Then we tell them, because we have something that goes way below anything we could do. It's a peace that only Christ can bring. Let me share with you my testimony. Let me share you what Christ has done in my life. My last question to you this morning is this: do you know this peace? Maybe you're a believer and you are scared to death right now. That would tell me that your eyes are more on this earth than they are on Jesus. Because we see that if you're truly a believer, God gives us peace. Or maybe you're here and you are scared to death and you don't know what to do. Maybe you are being called and you can know the peace of God this morning. You can know it. You don't have to try to do stuff, but you can experience it by Christ's saving grace, by a relationship in Jesus. Do you know this peace? The good news is you can. You can. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for the peace that you bring. Thank you for the rest and the security, the security of our salvation in you. The rest that we have knowing that we're at peace with you, but also that peace guides us and points us in the right direction and helps us to, it is a deterrent for sin, Lord. And that peace goes even out as we are in the body of Christ. It brings unity to the body. Thank you for peace. And it all is because of salvation in Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. I pray for the believer this morning that is struggling with fear, with anxiety, with depression, with just being scared. Lord, help them to have heard your truth, that it would resonate in their heart, because we know that your word is powerful, that it's alive, that it speaks to the believer. The Holy Spirit guides them to understand it. I pray that that would resonate in them, that they would turn their eyes off of the earth and focus their eyes back on you, and that they would feel that sense of peace again. I pray for those that are lost, that are longing for peace. Maybe they're listening online. Maybe they are here this morning and you are calling to them. Save them. Save them. Let them know this true peace. Let us as believers go live a life that shows that we have peace in you. Give us opportunities to share, even if we struggle to understand it sometimes. Let us give us the words to share what this incredible peace is in our life with others. Bring unity to this church, Lord. And as we sing and thank you, Lord, let us be so thankful for who you are and for the cross as we continue to worship this morning. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.